morning, it's time to get up.
This doesn't concern me. This excites me.
There we go.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited am I? It's a 12.
Uh-oh. He's doing the fly, Eagles, fly.
Now it's a party.
Look at that wingspan.
Oh, I can't wait to see Tiger. Yeah, he's going to win it all. Yeah, because I love Tiger.
That is a pigeon.
Intimidating. Dan Orlovsky likes to say words.
Yeah, speak the right way, Graziano.
But there are certain words that he will never say. Holy fudge.
It's not good, Dan. It's not good.
My wife, she probably loved to be with George Clooney, but you know what? She chose me.
If Tyreek Hill was 6'3", they would start a religion based around his athleticism.
We've been friends for 20 years.
Yes.
That will come to an end if you ask me one question about this team once they're officially eliminated.
I think the Dolphins are better than the Pats right now.
Not the Jets.
Okay, that was just mean.
Tiger.
It's the return of the roar.
You think he can win?
Oh, he's wearing the shirt, of course. Are you kidding?
Absolutely.
Nothing else is going to come in the way of me watching Tiger Woods this week.
Yeah, Tiger, right?
And we have just a little bit of fun on this show. Welcome back to Get Up, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. And so let's get up and run through everything we're going to get to here in this next hour. Starting with the NBA. Are Giannis and his champion Bucks still the kings of the conference? It feels like they are feasting in the East. Plus, Bruce Arians said, what? Borderline just insanity from the former Bucks coach about TB12. But is he right? We're going to talk about it. And face it, Gronk lives his best life every day. How can you hang out with him in Vegas? You'll hear from Gronk. Well, kind of ahead. Hour two of Get Up starts right now. We begin in the NBA because there were some two good ones last night, starting with the Boston Celtics visiting the Milwaukee Bucks. We pick things up here in the second. There's Giannis. Bucks up 7 at this point. More Giannis. He's going to attack. Gets the finger roll to go. Bucks lead by 9 here. Final seconds of the half. Jrue Holiday sends it over to Brooke Lopez. Nice alley-oop. Bucks lead 69-59 heading into the break. So we pick things up in the third quarter. At this point, the Celtics are trailing by 7. Jaylen Brown takes the handoff, drains that triple. Celtics cut the lead to 4. Less than a minute later, Brown, Marcus Smart, all day long. Celtics tied the ball game up. Fourth quarter now. Bucks trailing by 1 at this point. More Giannis Antetokounmpo driving. Scores at the cup. Give me an and one. After the made free throws, Bucks go up by 2. Giannis would finish with 29 points. Just over a minute to play. Holiday drives. Misses, but there to clean it up. Bucks take a 3-point lead. 43 seconds to go. Same score. Celtics. Daniel Tice under the rim, but he's going to miss the shot. Bucks hang on to win it 127-121. More action coming to you from the Eastern Conference. This one, Sixers visiting the Raptors. First quarter, Sixers up 15-2. Harden, Joel Embiid dunks that one home. Sixers were kind of cruising early. Second quarter here, Sixers lead is down to 2. Embiid jumper in the lane, and the Sixers take a 4-point lead into the break. So third quarter, Raptors trailing by 3. Pascal Siakam drives to the paint, gets the floater to go. Raptors down only 1 now, and so later in the third, tied ball game at 82 apiece. Siakam again. Yes, that's good. Right over Embiid, too. They go up 2 heading into the fourth quarter. Just over 1:30 remaining now. Sixers trailing by 6, and Harden's going to lose control of the ball. Raptors push the ball ahead. Scotty Barnes, nice easy dunk there on the other end. 30 seconds remaining. Raptors leading 4. Siakam drives, spins, but he can't get the layup. But Raptors would still go on to win 119-114. Here's Doc Rivers on if the Raptors have the Sixers number.
I don't think they have. I still don't think they have, you know, but if you think that, that's fine. I don't. I'm fine. Like I said before the game, we will roll it up with anybody that wants us in the first round. That's how we feel.
I wish I could talk to you all the way Doc Rivers talks there with authority and with the eyeballs, but I'm going to just let it be a little more chill here this morning. Let's see if we can keep this conversation a little more calm than we did in the last hour. It's looking like we could get a Raptors-Sixers in the first round matchup. Perk, I'm going to go to you first. If we do get that, is Philly at risk of potentially being bounced in the first round?
Hell no. And look, you heard Doc Rivers. Check ball. Look, let's not overreact. And I'm not taking anything from the Raptors, but listen, at the end of the day, if they were to match up, guess who have home court? The Philadelphia 76ers. Guess who play better at home in the playoffs? The role players. So with that being said, along with having possibly the MVP, and Joel Embiid, who's one of the most unstoppable players in the NBA. Look, I'm going with the 76ers, and we can talk about James Harden and his shooting. We can talk about him not being in existence, but the fact of the matter is they have that big fella. And when you have a superstar at that caliber, all you need is a little assistance by James Harden. By the way, Tyrese Maxey has been playing well. He didn't show up last night, but I'm pretty sure he's going to show up in the playoffs. They have Tobias Harris. And yes, people can have all these question marks about Doc Rivers and his concerns and last year and what happened. You know what the biggest mistake was that Doc Rivers made last year? That he didn't bitch Ben Simmons. If he would have bitched Ben Simmons and actually rolled with Tyrese Maxey during that playoff series, they would have won last year. So I'm going with the 76ers if they happen to match up with the Toronto Raptors.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda. Zach, do you agree? 76ers, or are the Raptors looking like they could take care of business?
The question was, I think, are the Sixers at risk of being bounced in the first round? So let me channel my perk. Hell yes, they're at risk of getting bounced in the first round. If this is the James Harden that we are getting, either he's playing possum and is saving it for the playoffs, or the Sixers are absolutely at risk of losing to Toronto. First of all, Toronto is good. They have a bunch of long-armed, rangy defenders who stopped James Harden in his tracks last night. James Harden is shooting 40% as a Sixer, 53% at the rim. That's awful. Perk mentioned role players. We should probably mention Matisse Thybulle, the fifth starter for the Sixers, was ineligible to play last night in Toronto, which would be three of the playoff games in a seven-game series. Read into that what you will. I agree with Perk. They have the best player in the series, Philadelphia does. Usually you win when you have the best player in the series. But I think this is a bad matchup for the Sixers. And if James Harden doesn't have another gear in reserve, to me, this is a coin flip. And the Sixers did not sign up for a first round coin flip when they traded a lot of stuff for James Harden.
All right, so Perk says Sixers are going to take it. Lowe says it's a coin flip, Jordan.
Let me tell you, what we heard from Rivers and to this point what we've heard from Perk is pure blasphemy. Say it with me, blasphemy.
Blasphemy. Blasphemy.
Blasphemy. There you go. And this is why I'm going to tell you. It's very simple. I'm glad that Zach finally mentioned Thybulle in this thing because he factors in big time. We know how the Sixers like to defend. They like to switch everything that doesn't involve any kind of exchange with the big fella Embiid. But when it does not involve Embiid, they are favorable matchups for a Raptor squad that likes to attack. And without Thybulle in what could be three of these games, that's exposure at its purest form. Oh, by the way, we're talking about role players and other pieces. This was a Raptors team that took care of business against a Sixers squad without Fred VanVleet and OG Anunoby. You're talking about showing them everything in the last hour, Perk, and show them everything because they didn't have two of the biggest pieces. Nick Nurse is an X and O's genius. He's going to give you a taste of what they're going to do, but he's going to confuse Joel Embiid when it matters. He's going to confuse this coaching staff with Doc Rivers, who's still uncertain of rotations. And James Harden ain't a guy to pick up 30 on his own to help out Joel Embiid. This group is in trouble.
Get him, Perk.
Hey, Jordan, let me remind you of something, my guy. One guy that Doc Rivers has over there on his staff is a guy by Dave Yeager, right? And this guy is a defensive-minded guy, right? And so when we talk about playing defense and we talk about coverages, I'm telling you something that I'm not guessing. I'm telling you something that I actually experienced playing along with going to multiple finals. I'm telling you this. Coaches that are on a mission and don't take these last season games like how the Toronto Raptors did, they don't show their hand. Doc Rivers did not show nothing that he would do in the playoff series. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And we talk about Matisse Thybulle. What I was telling you is this. Guess what? Philly has home court advantage. So if it happened to go to seven games, he would be available to play. He really would.
You know what? Perk did this to Jay last week.
You gotta leave it.
To me. I know you want to chip.
Let it go.
Gotta leave it. We gotta go. We gotta go to break.
We'll get to more NBA in just a little bit. We gotta move to the NFL because the Bucks, not the ones in the NBA, the one in the NFL, fresh off of retiring from coaching for the Bucks, Bruce Arians went on Arizona's 98.7 FM and an interesting thought on the success of the Bucks offense the last few seasons. And this is what he had to say. I get credit and Brady gets way too much credit for what Byron does with our offense. Again, this is what Arians told Arizona Sports 98.7 FM. One of the reasons I hope he gets all the credit he deserves this year is to get a coaching gig. You know, he had about four or five teams real interested last year. And so obviously now when Bruce Arians speaks, we listen because Tom Brady is on the Bucks. And so the question is, maybe is he getting too much credit? That would be Tom Brady for what this offense has been able to accomplish the last few years, Nink.
You know, I don't think he gets too much credit. Listen, the quarterbacks always get all the credit. And there's a reason why we talk about the race car drivers and not the guy that's building the motor. So you can draw up the perfect plan and you can have the best play ever created, and it's up to the players to go out there and execute it. And we're in a league where everyone's focused on the quarterback. So look at what these quarterbacks are making. You talk about the quarterback. You don't talk about everything else. So, again, Leftwich is going to be a head coach. Maybe next year, maybe in 2 years. I think he will be a head coach. He will be a head coach, mark my words, but I don't think he gets too much credit, no.
Okay, fair enough. But let's stay here with the Buccaneers, because in order for them to get credit this year in terms of their offense, they might need to add another piece, and that would be Rob Gronkowski, who I know, Nick, you hung out with recently, and Gronk, according, or from what we know, is still undecided. Do you have something to add to that? Do you think he's part of this Bucs team next year?
Well, I was with Rob a couple weeks ago, so I was at his house, we're talking, and I just said, hey, are you going to play next year? He's like, I don't know, maybe. And I don't think he knows. I think at this point right now, he's just trying to process where he's at, how his body feels, and he's played a long time. So if you've played a long time and you've made the money that Rob has made, he's the best tight end, the greatest tight end of all times. For him to come back and to put himself in a position of getting beat up and potentially being injured, you have to have the reward there. So he's going to have to get paid appropriately compared to where he's at and what the tight end market is. And I still think he's one of the best tight ends right now. He's a big body guy. He's got huge hands. He can go up in the red zone. He can catch any pass. So, you know, I think Rob is at a point now where it's got to be worth it for him. And the money's going to have to be something that just knocks him off his feet. And sure, okay, yeah, I'll play one more year. But at this point, He's made a lot and he's done a lot. He's got four Super Bowl rings. So I really don't know if he's going to play, but I really don't think he knows if he's going to play.
So do we believe Nink? He was at his house hanging out with him and he says the same thing that TMZ Sports said. I don't know, Nink, if I'm believing you that you don't know. But nonetheless, he also threw out there that Rob Gronkowski is the best tight end. Do you agree with that? Because I saw you shaking
your head. Well, he's one of the best. I mean, there's so many great tight ends in the history of the National Football League. It's hard to just zero in or pinpoint one guy as being the greatest of all time. I don't think it's that cut and dry. So, yeah, is Rob Gronkowski in the conversation? Absolutely. But there are other tight ends that certainly belong in that conversation as well. Tony Gonzalez, Kellen Winslow, my former general manager, Ozzie Newsome. There are a ton of tight ends that you have to consider when you have that greatest of all time conversation at that position.
But the question is, do the Bucs really need Gronk in order to accomplish what inevitably they want to accomplish, and that's winning a championship? Fowler, what do you think?
They need Gronk. They've budgeted for Gronk. They are expecting him to come back. They want him back. Everything's set up. The table is set. It just depends on when he wants to do that. That clip you mentioned from TMZ sounds like a guy who's going to wait till July or August to show up. He doesn't want to go through the offseason program. I do know there are multiple teams that have inquired and kept tabs on Gronkowski. Maybe they offer him a better contract somewhere, and the Bucs would have to come over the top. But this is a team that's ready to bring him back. Could draft a tight end, too, in the first few rounds because Gronk is in his 30s. Cam Brate is 30 years old. They need some youth at that position.
Quickly, Canty, you think Gronk is part of the Buccaneers this year, yes?
No doubt about it. Okay. I mean, when you play that long, I mean, I understand not wanting to be in OTAs, minicamp, offseason program, and full training camp. So I think as we get closer to the season, we'll start to hear more about Rob Gronkowski wanting to play football this year.
All right. So, yeah, no one wants to play in the offseason.
No.
What the
no.
heck? Coming up on Get Up, there's a receiver in the draft who reminds one of our experts of Odell Beckham Jr. Who that pass catcher is and why the comparison is next. And Steph Curry and the Warriors haven't lit up the NBA in the second half, but why betting against them in the playoffs should be done at your own risk. More Get Up coming your way next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're about 3 weeks away from the NFL draft, and so here's Mel Kiper's top 10 wide receivers in that upcoming 2022 NFL draft. Mel has six of these receivers going in round one in his latest mock. That would trail only the 2004 class for the most first-round wideouts in a single draft in the common draft era. That was, of course, the year Larry Fitzgerald was drafted, so it has been a minute since the wide receivers have been that plentiful. For more, let's welcome in Matt Miller. And so, Matt, again, we're about 3 weeks away. Let's play a game of reminds me of comparing NFL draft prospects to NFL draft or NFL players, I should say. And let's start with Drake London. Who does he remind you of?
Yeah, Shay, when I watch Drake London dominate smaller defensive backs in the red zone, I see Mike Evans, even back when he was at Texas A&M, but also what he's done with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. London at 6'5", 210 pounds, only played eight games last year, still had 88 catches, was still the best receiver in the Pac-12, maybe the best receiver in the country. I think he's the best receiver in this draft class, period.
Okay, let's keep it moving here. Let's go to Jameson Williams. Who does he remind you of?
Always scary when you compare someone to OBJ, but that's what I see in terms of the balance, the flexibility, some of the acrobatic catches, but also that burst after the catch that OBJ had maybe a little bit earlier in his career before the injuries. But Jameson Williams definitely has the opportunity to be special on some of those vertical routes. Also, early OBJ stuff with the slant and go ability.
Okay, good. What about this last one here? Garrett Wilson, who does he remind you of?
Yeah, Garrett Wilson, one of two great receivers at Ohio State this year, but I see Robert Woods, physical over the middle, and the ability to make something happen after the catch. He's fearless over the middle. That's my favorite thing about Garrett Wilson, strong hands, and that ability to go after the catch does remind me of Robert Woods, who I think people have somehow forgotten about since he got hurt last year for the Rams.
All right, Matt, let's bring in our NFL guys here for this conversation now, too, but we're talking a lot about wide receivers, and Kansas City and Green Bay both lost their top wideouts to trades this offseason. So what do you expect these two teams to do? Maybe they target one of the guys you just talked about in this year's draft?
Yeah, I think they have to. I think we could look at Green Bay and say they needed a wide receiver before they traded Devontae Adams. You could say the same thing about Kansas City. They needed a receiver before they traded Tyreek Hill. So when I look at Green Bay at picks 22 and 28 in the first round, they might have to use both of those at the position, if not at least one of their two second-round picks as well. So at 22, we could see Treylon Burks from Arkansas. 6'2", 225 would give Aaron Rodgers one of the biggest weapons he's actually ever had. Now, Burks didn't time well at the combine with a 4.55 40. His play speed is much, much better. He was one of the leading receivers in college football last year in yards after catch. Guys, I think that's exactly what Aaron Rodgers needs. Somebody that could post up, can kind of be that big receiver out on the edge that can also give him a weapon in the red zone that is really missing right now.
Yeah. Hey, Fowler, I want to go to you here now on this because we know that the Packers don't typically go this direction in terms of taking skill position players outside of a quarterback and Jordan Love over the last several years. So could you see them doing this now that they don't have Devontae Adams?
Well, they'll take a receiver in the first 2 days of the draft, but they might wait till the second round. They've had so much success on day two with guys like Devontae Adams, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb. They haven't taken a first-round receiver since Javon Walker back in 2002. But I talked to somebody in Green Bay who senses the urgency. They said, look, we've basically been scouring the earth for wide receiver help. They checked in on Devontae Parker before he was traded to New England. They checked in on Allen Robinson during his free agency. So they will come away with a premier guy at some point later this month.
Okay, so a premier guy, but waiting until the second round. Nink, do you think that's a good approach for the Packers?
Well, it's worked for him in the past. I think the biggest concern for me is the last two seasons, Hembo giving me the knowledge here, the last two seasons, Adams was 33% of the passing game for the Green Bay Packers. So if you think about that, it's really hard to replace that. How do you just draft a rookie to come in and replace 33% of your offensive production? That's basically impossible. And I know it's a draft deep class for the wide receiver position, but if you think about the Green Bay Packers versus, say, Kansas City, they are much more on a must-win-now type basis of they haven't been to the Super Bowl in how many years? 10-plus years. They haven't been to a Super Bowl. So I think the Packers definitely need to have more urgency when it comes to trying to find a veteran or somebody that could come in and help them have a deep playoff run because – you know, history itself for a rookie to come in and be an all-pro, there's only been three in history.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm even asking this question about replacing Davante Adams. It seems obvious considering he's one of the best wide receivers in all of football. But, Canty, how much of a priority does this need to be?
No, I think it is a huge priority for Green Bay. And I'd be surprised if they don't take a receiver in the first 2 days of the NFL draft, given the capital that they have. Draft picks are like lotto tickets. The more you play, the more opportunities you have to hit on one of those guys. And for me, it's less about regular season success and productivity for Aaron Rodgers than it is about having that guy in the postseason that can dictate front and coverage, a guy that can tilt the defense and clear up the picture for Aaron Rodgers in terms of the coverages that he's looking at pre-snap. So I think the Green Bay Packers absolutely have to do that early in the NFL draft. They also have to address their offensive line too, because Elton Jenkins coming off of ACL and David Bakhtiari couldn't stay healthy. Yeah. So those are the two areas that they have to address, and I think they'll do that in the first couple of rounds.
Yeah, and good thing for the Packers because this is a very deep offensive line class, a very deep wide receiving class. Obviously, this would be tailored to them. Well, since we have Matt Miller, let's play a game of Miller Time now, and let's take a look at some of the non-wide receivers in the draft who will make teams better. And so, Matt, let's start with a player maybe you haven't heard of. Who you got?
Yeah, let's go to Boye Mafe from Minnesota. Maybe not someone the casual fan at home has heard about, but someone who I think could sneak into the first round of this draft. He had 7 sacks last year at the scouting combine. We saw the burst, the bend, the flexibility that you need for this position. As teams in the back end round one, like Green Bay and Kansas City, have needs at the edge position, don't be surprised if Mafe sneaks into the first round.
Okay, let's keep it going here. What about someone who is rising up on draft boards as we speak?
It Daxton Hill from Michigan. Not just trying to go all defense today for the defenders we have on the panel, but Daxton right. Hill, he can play slot corner. He can play free safety. He is a chess piece, a lot like Tyrann Mathieu was in Kansas City, but he's younger and he's running in the 4.3s. That's elite speed at the position. Dax Hill is someone I wouldn't be surprised if he's a top 20 pick once we actually get to April 28.
It's amazing how these players can rise and fall so quickly as we lead up to that NFL draft. Lastly, the meanest player in the draft.
Yeah, this could be a positive or a negative, depending on how you look at it. But Tyler Smith from Tulsa, guys, he had 16 penalties last year. 12 of them were holding calls. But teams love his meanness, his toughness, his athleticism, to the point that he could actually be a first-round pick as well, maybe to a team like the Dallas Cowboys at 24 overall.
Yeah, we try to avoid meanness in our lives, except when it comes to the NFL draft. Matt Miller, thank you so much. So, again, less than 4 weeks away, April 28th, 29th, 30th, we'll have every pick once again on ESPN, along with our usual expert analysis. Also available on NFL Network and ABC's coverage focuses on the prospect's journey to the draft all 3 days. Also on ESPN Deportes, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. Coming up here on Get Up, if DK Metcalf's days in Seattle are truly numbered, which team needs him the most? Could my Bears be a possibility? We will discuss. But before we go to break, let's do a little sneaky Hembo here. Zach Lowe, this one is for you. What is the last team seeded 3 or lower to win the Western Conference? Ponder, think, and we'll come back to you with an answer. Don't Google. One rule.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, we asked Lowe this sneaky Hembo question. What is the last team seeded 3 or lower to win the Western Conference? Look at Hembo holding the basketball, just itching for you to get it wrong. Lowe, what do you got?
Cocky. So at first I thought it was the 2006 Mavericks because they were underseeded and the NBA changed the rules to adjust for seeding purposes for divisions. It was all weird and cocky, but then I remembered. The 2011 Mavericks lost a bunch of games when Dirk was out injured, and I think they dropped to the third or fourth seed and ended up winning the West. So I'm going 2011 Mavericks.
And look at Lowe coming in hot. That is the correct answer. The 2011 Mavericks.
Boom.
Hembo, you didn't get them. But better luck next time, buddy. The Warriors are the 3 seed right now. We'll have more on them in just a minute. But first, let's run the floor with my lesser half, Jordan Cornette. Here we go. Anthony Edwards scored a career-high 49 points in a 127-121 win against the Spurs. How good is this kid, Jay?
Let me gather myself. Look, fourth most career points by anybody in the league before hitting the age of 21. And let me tell you, out of the four, it's LeBron, KD, and Melo. This guy has a chance to be one of the truly special two guards the league's ever seen.
The Ant-Man, and he's so fun to watch, too. All right, Nikola Jokic became the first player in NBA history to record 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, and 500 dimes in a season. Is he your MVP?
I still don't forgive you for that. I mean, look, the historic player efficiency rating he's about to post is going to break what Giannis set 2 years ago. And as for his team, we just don't see him enough. But reality is, Embiid any other year wins MVP. Giannis wins it any other year. But the Nuggets have a similar record to those two teams. And this guy's doing stuff we've never seen. Joker's the MVP.
I can't get excited about it for some reason. All right, Klay Thompson. This I can get excited about. Scored 33 points in a win over the Lakers. His second straight 30-point game. But how good does he need to be for the Warriors to really go on a run?
It's got to be Klay. But he doesn't need to be forcing it like he did when he returned from injury early on. Key thing we heard from Coach Kerr is he's taken shots within the flow of the offense. He's gone for 33-plus in 3 of his last 5 games. My man's heating up. Watch out.
Yeah, he really is. Speaking of, the Warriors got the win over the Lakers. As we said, the Golden State has not really looked like a playoff team over the last few months. In fact, since the All-Star game, the Warriors ranked 20th in win percentage and points per game. Compare that to entering the break when Golden State had the second best record in the NBA. Now, granted, there were injuries involved, and Klay now finally starting to find his footing. Zach, I'll go to you first here because we mentioned he had 33 last night, and this Warriors team is starting to turn it on. How dangerous can they be?
I think they can be super dangerous, as threatening to the Phoenix Suns in the West as anybody, and maybe more threatening than anybody, including Perk's beloved Memphis Grizzlies, who are awesome. But look, I know this. When Steph, Draymond, and Klay are healthy and a full go, the Warriors do not lose very many games. And yeah, Steph's hurt. We got to see. Draymond's recovering. We got to see. Klay's been out for 2 years. Looks great, all things considered, but he's not going to be full on Klay. But if that trio is 90% of what they can be at their peak, and Jordan Poole is doing this, and Andre Iguodala can contribute, and Otto Porter's coming off the bench giving them great minutes, they are a very dangerous team, a team absolutely capable of winning 4 playoff series and the NBA championship. There are a lot of ifs there, I'll admit. There are a lot of ifs there, and enough of those ifs got to flip right. But if they do, and I'm optimistic that enough of them will flip right, this team is really, really good.
Perk, you agree? Are you as optimistic as Zach is on this Warriors squad?
I'm not, because there's too many ifs. And here's why. When you think about it, look, the season is over. So, I mean, we're talking about all these ifs. When is the light switch going to come on? When is the continuity really going to get there? We still haven't seen how this team is going to look with Steph Curry. And again, I'm not talking about Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. I'm talking about when Steph Curry gives back and guys have to accept a different role. That matters. And that's why Steve Kerr was so mad and so angry with Marcus Smart when Steph Curry got injured. It was because, one, yes, he was standing up for his player, but two, he knows that this part of the season, a guy that has won 3 championships as a coach, he knows how valuable it is to lock down your rotations, how valuable chemistry is, how valuable it is for guys to know their roles and know where their minutes are going to come and know where their shots are going to come. And he knows that continuity is key heading into the postseason, especially right now when the Golden State Warriors are finally trying to get Klay back on track, and we don't know how Draymond is going to hold up for us with his back injury.
I mean, Perk's just not believing in the Warriors, and he hasn't been for a little while.
Yeah, and I get it. It's a ton of ifs. But if those ifs align like Zach saying, watch out, world, like it could be like that. To me, what is for certain is we know Jordan Poole's going to play basketball. And what Jordan Poole's been doing since the All-Star break, leading the league in three-point shooting at 43%, but becoming a high-level scorer in this league, that rotation of Klay, Steph, and Jordan Poole alongside each other will be fascinating to watch. They'll give up a little bit defensively there, but they can shoot you out of games very easily and light up a scoreboard. What's fascinating too, Jordan Poole is the first guy they've been able to cultivate within this dynastic era of this core Warriors group that has shown to be a star. It's his first opportunity to do it in the postseason with a group, if everything aligns, that has some serious juice. We might watch a star really grow here in front of us.
The question I want to ask you, really, you three, really quick before we move on to football here is, can this Warrior squad compete directly with the Grizzlies and with the Suns? In fact, can they win a series against these two squads?
Sure, Shay, they can if everything comes together. I don't think anybody's going to feel confident saying that right here. If I was told I know Klay's going to do what he's done these last few, if I know that Steph's going to come back, and I know that Dre's going to guard, facilitate, push and transition, and the back's not going to bother him, absolutely. But for right now, comfortably, I know who the Suns are. Give me the Suns.
Go ahead, Perk.
Jordan, are you back? Are you backpedaling a little bit? Because at the top of the show, you were speaking with a little bit more confidence about the Warriors, and now all of a sudden, when I put it on your mind about the ifs, and I put it on your mind that the playoffs are actually starting in about 10 days, all of a sudden you had to think about it for a second and say, you know what? That's a lot of ifs, and time is not an essence
you're
on their side. So listen, what's going on?
The Raptors are the one I'm going to stick to for sure. I'm certain about that one. The Warriors' ifs, they're relevant, but go ahead. I do have those ifs in the back of my mind.
Jordan, real quick, how certain are you about the Raptors? Are you certain enough to put a little wager on that on national television?
Well, clearly you've established one of us has won a chip. With that chip comes a whole lot more chips, if you know what I mean. So we can make a bet like, I don't know what it is, but monetarily, I don't know if we're swimming in the same waters.
You know what? You know what? I will say this. Let's just bet a friendly suit. You know what I mean? If the Raptors and the Philadelphia 76ers match up in the playoff and Toronto beat Philly, then you just send me your size and measurements and the color and the style, and I'll buy you a suit. But if the Philadelphia 76ers beat the Toronto Raptors, I'm going to send you my measurements. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm 6'10", I'm 350-plus pounds, and my suits are not cheap, okay?
Hey, I go 6'8", 3 bills. Mine aren't cheap either. But if we're talking value, I get 2 suits if the Raptors win here.
So all right, you're getting greedy now.
That's a deal. That's a deal.
I got to get Perk a white shirt for that fit anyway. Because I don't know
if
black is the way, Perk.
All right, goodbye. We're going to the NFL. It's time to run the hurry up with Jeremy Fowler. There's a lot of 3 Bills talks going on over here. Here we go. We're starting with the Steelers. Jeremy, what do you got on Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah, I got to pick up my suit game for real. But let's go. Mitch Trubisky, the era has begun in Pittsburgh. I'm told that they're in South Florida this weekend. Trubisky's working out with about a dozen Steelers running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. He's housing them. He's feeding them. He's being a good teammate. Wants to win in a big way there. Now, Steelers could draft a quarterback, but Trubisky remains a favorite to start regardless. They gave him $6+ million this year alone, so he's good. Now let's go to who we got here, Bobby Wagner. Oh, let's talk about the Rams. So the Rams, I'm told their aggressive approach to free agency in the draft has influenced a lot of the blockbuster trades around the league. In fact, Ravens coach John Harbaugh admitted as much to me in an interview, saying, look, teams are sort of realizing maybe you don't need draft picks to win big. And this is coming from a team, the Ravens, that loves to draft. So the Rams have put teams on notice in a big way. Although coaches say don't undermine Sean McVay's influence on that culture there is almost as important, if not more. Now, DK Metcalf, the situation is, my understanding is teams are calling They're checking in on this. They're inquiring that Seattle has not budged as of yet. They're putting the front together publicly and privately that they don't want to deal him. But the player knows that that could change. Teams believe that that could change, that Seattle could make a deal at the right price, maybe closer to the draft. I'm told Metcalf is even keel about all this. He's certainly open to staying in Seattle, but he understands that this is big business. This could go either way. I did just text with a Seattle source who said, I believe he's not anywhere, but who knows what's going to happen right now.
Right, really quick, Fowler, let's stay right there, because what would it take for a team to pry him out of Seattle?
Well, you know, asking around to people in the league, they think a minimum of first-round pick, because he's that kind of generational talent. And from Seattle's standpoint, they could take that first-round pick, they could take a wide receiver in a deep class and pay him about 20 to 30% of what you would have to pay DK Metcalf, because there are at least four top wide receivers that are going to need $20-plus million per year or more on a new deal. And so that's a bit of the rub with Seattle. It's a sticker shock of having to pay a top wide receiver, but they value him greatly. This is not a player that they're just eager to shop and give away. It would have to be an offer that GM John Schneider and head coach Pete Carroll could not refuse.
Yeah, okay. So let's figure out this thing out here in terms of DK Metcalf. It sounds like it's going to take a lot to get him out of Seattle, but it also seems like he wants out of Seattle. And so if there's a good destination here for DK Metcalf, where would it be? Canty, you up first.
I think I'm going to roll with the Chicago Bears.
Let's go.
And it's all about being able to develop the young quarterback. Wow. That's what it comes down to. Justin Fields, being able to get the most out of him going into year two. Now, the Bears don't own their first-round draft pick this year. That belongs to the New York Giants. That's a top 10 pick. But there's nothing that precludes them from trading future draft capital in order to bring back a true number one receiver. And, oh, by the way, because you have a quarterback on a rookie deal, you can go ahead and get that dude that bag.
Yeah, right. But they don't have that first-round pick, as you just talked about. It belongs to the Giants. So they'd have to give up some other things. Rob, who you got?
Let me think about a quarterback that was with Metcalf in the past. How about the Broncos? How about that? What if DK went to the Broncos with Russell Wilson? Now, what would that offense look like? It would be mind-blowing and scary. So that's probably not realistic, but if you're DK, you're like, hey, let me go with Russell. I've already worked with him in the past. I like Denver. I like Mile High. Let's go to Denver. But I don't think that's probably going to happen. But
okay. But yeah,
we can all fantasize about that.
It feels like the offense is already loaded, even without DK Metcalf. Can you imagine if they add him into the fold? Jeremy Fowler, where do you think DK ends up?
Let's go Saints. DK, come march your way into New Orleans. Be a difference maker for a really good team. You know, we talk about the Packers, we talk about the Chiefs lurking for wide receiver. Saints have been doing the same, and they are now armed with two first-round picks this year. They could sort of package something to Seattle, and they need a perfect complement to Michael Thomas, who works the middle of the field. Metcalf could go deep. Jameis Winston went 5-2 last year with maybe the worst wide receiver core in the league. Getting Metcalf with Michael Thomas would be a major upgrade.
Okay, I'm going to go with a team that has a major hole at wide receiver, and it feels like it makes so much sense here, and that would be the Green Bay Packers. They added a little draft capital in that Devontae Adams trade. They can go get a number one guy for Aaron Rodgers, and this seems to be an easy way to do it. Go get DK Metcalf to come up to Green Bay and give Aaron Rodgers a surefire target, maybe add another receiver in the draft. Maybe Green Bay can start to put up a little more points there with Aaron Rodgers staying under center. All right, you want to hear something that's going to give NFL offenses around the NFL nightmares? Aaron Donald says he's getting better. Is he the most fearsome defensive player in the game, though? Canty's going to tell us about it next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Get Up. So 30-year-old Aaron Donald will be back for the Rams in 2022. The 8-time Pro Bowler will also be seeking a new contract as well. So during a recent appearance on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast, Donald said he feels like, get this, he's still improving. This is what he said. I don't feel like I'm slowing down. If anything, I feel like I'm getting faster. I feel like I'm in better shape. I keep telling people I get better with age, man. I don't slow down. I just feel like I'm getting that much stronger. I look better with age. And all of that. Man, I wish we could all say the same thing. But, yeah, so we saw Aaron Donald dominate, obviously, in the Super Bowl and last season. But want to know where he ranks on your list. Top five most feared defensive players in the NFL. I can't tell from these silhouettes who you got, so why don't you give it to me, starting with number 5.
All right, let's go. Number 5, I've got J.C. Jackson, cornerback for the Los Angeles Chargers. And listen, this guy is an absolute ball hawk. He led the NFL in passes, defended second in interceptions last year, adding him to that Chargers defense that has Derwin James and Asante Samuel Jr. on the back end, and now having Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, there's going to be a lot of pressure on AFC West quarterbacks, and J.C. Jackson is going to take advantage of some of those errant passes that those guys are going to throw up. So J.C. Jackson, number 5. Checking in at number 4, we have T.J. Watt. Of course, we got to have the reigning defending sack champ for the last 2 seasons. T.J. Watt is an absolute game wrecker. He's the one that makes it happen. Doesn't matter if the guy is nicked up, he's going to play through those injuries, and he's going to find a way to get to the quarterback. Doesn't matter if he's double or even triple team. T.J. Watt is a go-getter, much in the same mold as his brother, J.J. Watt. This guy can absolutely get after it. Number 3, we got Myles Garrett. Let's stay in the AFC North. Myles Garrett, absolutely. The last 2 years, Myles Garrett has led the National Football League in pass rush win rate. This guy can absolutely flat out go. He's a freak show when it comes to his athleticism. The Cleveland Browns told him to stop playing basketball in the offseason. I echo those same sentiments when you're paying a guy over $100 million. But this guy can absolutely get at the quarterback, and he's going to be on a stacked defense that has playmakers on all 3 levels. So Myles Garrett, a guy that you definitely want to look out for. And quarterbacks, hold on to your helmets. Checking in at number 2. Super Bowl champion Aaron Donald.
What are we doing?
Number 2.
This is not number 1. Why
no,
is he
he's
number
not.
Two?
He's not number 1. He's number 2. We're projecting what's going to happen in 2022, okay? But listen, this guy is a lock to make first team All Pro in 2022. Why, Shay? Because he's made first team All Pro the last 7 seasons.
Or he's
an absolute monster. He's got a 26.7% pass rush win rate against double teams. The guy won 55 pass rushes against double teams. The next closest guy in the National Football League only had 26. So he doubled up when it came to wins against double teams. Not only can he win one-on-one blocks, but he wins double teams as well. And he just won the LA Rams a Super Bowl. But checking in at number 1, we got Micah Parsons, that man from the Dallas Cowboys. Listen, there have only been 4 first-team All-Pro linebackers in their rookie seasons. You had Darius Leonard, you had Patrick Willis, and yes, one Lawrence Taylor. And this dude had 13 sacks last year and finished 2nd in pass rush win rate. So this guy can flat out get after it. Doesn't matter if he's lining up on the line of scrimmage, off the ball as a linebacker, you got him dropping in coverage. Micah Parsons can do everything. He's the kind of guy that a quarterback is coming to the line of scrimmage and trying to identify where he's at, much in the same way of one Lawrence Taylor.
I know this about Candy because I've worked with him several times, that he loves Micah Parsons and what he brings to the table, but this is just downright disrespectful considering Aaron Donald is number 2 on this list and has a Super Bowl ring. Fowler, I hear you talking in the background and shaking your head. Please make sense of this.
It's blasphemous. That's the buzzword of the day. I mean, Aaron Donald is the only guy I know who gets triple teamed fairly consistently, and he still wins. And you saw what he did at the end in the Super Bowl. They called his name, go win the game for us. He does it.
Mink, what do you think of this nonsense?
Yeah, listen, I love the list. I think everybody on that list is, they're a tremendous, and they deserve to be on that list. But the number 1, number 2, I would go Aaron Donald, considering I just saw a highlight. He just posted something about his footwork, and he was doing ladder drills.
His feet were quicker than a receiver or running back. It's insane. And he's right. You can get faster. You can get stronger after 30. So I do believe that he might be very, very scary for opposing quarterbacks and continue to be the most feared man in the NFL for years to come if he wants to. So I know after the Super Bowl, he kind of floated out there. Well, we'll see if I'm back. He's going to be back. His feet are lightning quick. So I think that he is the most number one on my list. He would be the scariest guy, but I respect the list. I respect Canty's list, okay? But I would just switch number one and number two.
So, wouldn't we all, Canty, defend yourself?
Listen, it's no disrespect to Aaron Donald. I mean, there's nobody that has the kind of career trajectory that Aaron Donald has in the history of the NFL save Lawrence Taylor and Reggie White. So I'm not being disrespectful to Aaron Donald. But that man, Michael Parsons, as a rookie, had a case for defensive player of the year.
A rookie.
Think about that. A rookie had a case for defensive player of the year. Think about what his trajectory could potentially be. This guy could be the next Lawrence Taylor. We could be looking at it down there in Dallas. That's how versatile, that's how dynamic Micah Parsons is. Ooh.
Go ahead, Fowler. What were you going to say?
If you're...
Or Nink, go ahead.
No, that's great. I was just going to add, we're talking about best players. Aaron Donald is going to be the highest defensive paid player here fairly soon. The Rams and Donald are working on a new deal. This should get done. I'm told the ball is currently in the Rams' court to make it happen. Donald is sort of waiting, but two factors. You got Nick Bosa in San Francisco. We'll probably get a new deal soon. So Donald's going to have to be the highest paid defensive player by a reasonable cushion, maybe even 10 to 15%. And then the Rams also have Cooper Kupp. They need to adjust his contract too. So a lot of work to do right now in L.A.
Yeah, you mentioned Micah Parsons. I mean, and they're getting him on a deal, essentially.
You
got to pay all these guys big bucks. Nink, last word here. What do you got?
I was going to say, if you're Micah Parsons' agent, you're telling the Dallas Cowboys he is not an inside linebacker. He is a pass rusher. Move him to the outside. You see what these guys are getting as far as pass rushers. So for him to be inside off the ball, get him on the line of scrimmage. Get him after the quarterback because he's going to get paid.
Yeah, he will eventually down the road. All right, guys, it's the end of an era, or I'm sorry, it is the era, I should say, of the big man in the NBA right now. So who should win MVP this year? Is it Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo? I smell a debate on First Take immediately following Get Up at the top of the hour. You don't want to miss it.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back to Get Up. Despite Tom Brady's return from retirement, his former teammate Rob Gronkowski isn't ready to return to the field just yet. Gronk told TMZ Sports that he's not ready to fully commit to the game of football right this very second. However, we do know where Gronk will be on April 29th. He is holding his Gronk Beach Draft Party in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
The Chainsmokers will be on hand to perform. And if you want to get a cabana and get yourself invited to that party, it's going to cost you 8 G's. Now, Nico, earlier we were talking about how you were just hanging out with Gronk, and so I have to wonder, are you going to said draft party?
Well, when he posted that the Gronk Beach draft party was happening, I just posted, can dads attend? And then my wife responded, you're not going unless I'm going. So unless my wife party page is in attendance, I don't think I'm going to make it.
Yeah. Okay,
but it looks a good time. Looks like fun, you know?
Right? It looks like a blast.
Well, look here, Nico, I'm not married yet, so do you think that you could get Gronk to hook me up with a couple of free VIP
Beach.
See, now don't do that.
I got to imagine there's going to be a Dre's Beach Club somewhere like that in Vegas. Maybe the Hard Rock Rehab. Hey, wherever it's at, I just need to be in the building. I don't have the $8,000 for it, but I want to be in the building. Nick, I need you to hook me up.
We can talk more about this later. I'm going to go to a party. That's all I got to say. I'm speaking for all your ladies. Thanks for hanging out with us on Get Up. Have a nice weekend, everyone.